loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for life and health and strength, for everything that we've managed to accomplish. Just pray your good hand upon us, Father, praise. For those that couldn't be here through sickness, Lord, I pray, please, that you would lift them from their sick beds. For, Lord, you know, please speak to souls of this time, of those difficult days for many people, Lord, and it's not getting easier. And I pray, please, Lord, that you would just watch over and keep speak to people, Lord, reason with them about their eternities. Please bless us now as we lift up your praises and spend a wee bit of time in your word. And we just love you and thank you and ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, let's take our big black books and turn to number 29 in the wee black books. Christ says, Lord, take my hand.
Thank you.
Coach Norma?
Thanks. We're reading this from the book of Psalms, Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thy ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered, like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the house top. My enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, that thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth. I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. The time of the favour of her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favour the dust thereof. The heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of destitute, and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come. People which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down upon the height of a sanctuary from heaven, that the Lord beholds the earth. To hear the groaning of the prisoner, to lose those that are appointed to death. To declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together in the kingdom to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength, and the way he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Amen.
Thank you, sir. All right. Mr. Wilson. Just want to remind everybody to make sure they have one of these wee pink. It's pink because it matches my knee pad. couple of things. Will has the flu, so he's out of commission. Will's granny that was in getting her knee operated on, everything went well. They were hoping, I think, to be out, that she would be out on Thursday, although with Will in the house having COVID, they might hold her in hospital for another day or two, but she's doing likely, and Christine is, I'm sure Marianne is thankful for all the prayers. She's a queer woman, as they say. She is as sharp as a tack. 89 years old, and going in for knee surgery. There you go. Please do pray for Mary Ann. Pray for Will too, that he gets better. And
For Ling as well, her husband was in for a CT scan today. Seemingly, he must have picked up some injury or something or other in times gone by, and they were wanting to do a comparative CT scan. So please do pray for Dr. Shang and for Ling as well. You know, it takes a lot for her to miss, and we miss her. We miss everybody that's not here whenever there's a service. So please do pray for her. Pat and Steve send the regards. Hoping to be here. Steve asked for prayer for his legs. So please do remember that. Otherwise, it's private prayer requests. And has anybody got any thanks? Yes, Mrs. Bradfield.
Saying
Louise
are traveling
with
it Saturday?
Yes, indeed. Sam and Louise.
Thank you, Lord, for Christian fellowship.
Yes, indeed.
Even if it is a shopping trip.
Amen. Please do keep praying. All of those prayer requests, if they're on that wee sheet, they still need prayed for. I don't know about you. I can't remember all the things that's going on in everybody else's life. And Monica says, I'm even worse at remembering what's going on in my own life since I came out of hospital. It's not on the sheet, it doesn't get prayed for. If it doesn't need to be on the sheet, let us know. And we will adjust them accordingly. But if it's on the sheet, please do pray for them. There's a lot going on in the world still, so pray for the shenanigans going on in Russia and Ukraine. And I was just thinking of all the trouble that there's been in Ireland for this past, 100 and something, maybe 200 years, and all the things that Ireland could have accomplished if they hadn't been busy fighting each other. It used to be called the land of saints and scholars. What could a land of saints and scholars have accomplished if they hadn't been set against each other? Makes you wonder. Please do pray for America. We certainly do need our prayers, as does the UK and the rest of the world. If you can think of a country in the world that needs prayed for, but most especially, you're commanded to pray for the peace of Israel. Be nice to the Jews if you ever come across them. I was just thinking about it the other day. Nobody deserves to walk over you, but the Jews need reaching out to. If you ever get an opportunity, take it. And the Lord says, if you bless them, he bless you. You don't get any more cast iron or clear a promise from God than that. I think that's it. Anything else, Norman?
Don't you think I would have fallen on that?
Safety when working. Work safety. There you go.
A squirrel.
Spider-Man. There you go. Alright, I think that's about that. We'll have a wee word of prayer. And then we'll sing another song. Close your eyes. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Lord, we do have a bit of a shopping list of stuff. Thanks and petitions. Private prayer petitions, Lord. You know all the things that's going on in our lives. Things maybe we don't want to give details about or that are private. I pray, Lord, please, that you would work with ourselves and in those situations in our lives. I want to thank you too, Lord, and pray you for Sam and Louise, as they travel and spend time with Pat and Steve, we pray for a good amount of strength and wisdom for Pat and Steve as their relations visit. And I pray you too, Lord, for Ling and Dr. Shang and the goings-on at the hospital, for this up and coming Monday, Lord, for blood tests and the ultrasound that is supposed to be happening at some stage in the future, Lord. I'll just leave these things at your feet. I want to thank you too for answering prayers for Christian Fellowship, for Norman's continued safety on the building sites, and Lord, just for the freedom that we still have to meet together. Please bless us, Lord. Please watch over us and keep us. And please forgive us and cleanse us and refresh us. Give us a wee bit of scriptures to be going home with today too. Love you and praise you. Pray your good hand upon those that could and should be here and aren't. And for those, Lord, that can't be here and want to be, Lord, you know. I pray you, Father, that your will be done. We love you and praise you, and ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's take our confession. Black ones this time. And number 30. Number 30, I need Jesus. Once you're well practiced, we'll sing that. You want to mark the ones to sing?
Thank you.
swap them out for your Bible. And if you'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 1, that's in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 1. I hope to bring you a few thoughts about ducks from Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Thinking on the subject of ducks. Ducks and lemon. Crispy duck. Well, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and swims like a duck, it's a duck. So many things to talk about when you're speaking about ducks. Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. We'll probably read the first 8 or 9 verses or so. Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. The Word of God says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. We're taking the last 4 verses there, 6, 7, 8, 9, as our text for this evening. I want to speak on the subject of ducks. The old saying, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and swims like a duck, it's a duck. That's pretty much the thrust of the subject of the message. And we're just going to be speaking on, about other gospels, or against other gospels. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time that we've set aside in the week. Just to gather together, Lord, just take a step aside from the world. Thank you for the freedom that we still have to lift up our voices and praise you. Thank you for the church building, Lord, that's still doing a sterling job. Thank you, Lord, for all of the work and for everybody that pitched in to do it. Especially Norman, Lord. Please watch him as he continues on with his many projects. I pray you too, Lord, for Pat and Steve, for Will, for Marianne, for Dr. Shang at this time, Lord, for myself, Lord, and we know there are others, as that wee fella in Fiji, Lord, that ended up with a burst appendix, and now he's stuck over there, and his family's had to go home, Lord, to the States. I just pray for that wee fella too, Lord. But we know there are many folks with medical issues, Lord, and now is not a good time to be sick or just not at yourself. Please, I pray you. I know not everybody that works in the hospitals is on the level, Lord, and wants the best for people. I pray, Lord, that you would save people physically from bad people, Lord, in this world. I pray, Lord, for your influence to be felt in the corridors of power. Lord, for your protection and provision for Israel even now. And I pray, Lord, too, for a decent prime minister in this country. And for America too, Lord. We really do need you, Lord, and I pray, Father, that you would bless this time around your word. Thank you for Norman and Charlotte and their faithfulness, Lord, and I pray that you would honor and bless them for. Pray most of all, Lord, for your will to be done. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Before we even step into the book of Galatians, or just these 4 verses that we're particularly looking at, you need to remember there's one thing you need to know about the book of Galatians.
And that is, the book of Galatians was written by Paul the Apostle to a church that had started preaching and believing a different gospel. Started by him, I do believe, and Paul didn't come. Paul knew what a false gospel was. He had spent years persecuting the gospel of Christ until he met Christ on the road to Damascus. And God just gave him a wee nudge. That's all it needs. Sometimes it's just a wee tap. The number of times when we were putting studs into the walls, that all they needed was a wee nudge to put them, to put the put them under tension and make sure everything was tight and shipshape. Because if it's not there, the strength isn't there. God gave Paul that wee nudge. 3 days later, when he received his sight and ate some food, he was up and at him and preaching the gospel. And it made such a difference to his life, because everyone he thought was his friends was now out to kill him. So Paul went out to the Gentiles. And he went far and wide. He started a bunch of churches. And in this particular one, he left them with a clear presentation of the gospel. I hope you know what the gospel is. The good news of God, which is what gospel means, is that God loves you. And God gave his son Jesus Christ to pay for your sins on the cross. So far, so good. Doesn't require you to do anything. But the word of God says that if you will confess your sins, if you will repent of them, in other words, your sins are taking you down the road to destruction, if you go another way, you and your sins part company, and accept the Holy Spirit into your life, well then you're saved. And so there is, it's not a job of muscle power, it's not a job of intellect, it's simple faith. Trust in Jesus Christ and him alone as your Savior. That's the gospel. But the gospel gets better than that, because God just doesn't save us and leave us on our own. That would be like those full-term abortionists that deliver babies and then leave them in the room by themselves to die of exposure and neglect. It doesn't work well for little babies in this world, and it doesn't work well for Christians either. Because the gospel, the good news of God, is for right here and now too. There are so many of God's promises that are available to you and to me. They're the same available to me as there are to you. God says, for instance, once you're mine, once you're saved, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never cast you out. In fact, he says, I will keep you in the palm of my hand, and no man can pluck me out. And in the very next verse it says, my Father, which is greater than all, he will keep you in the palm of his hand, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. That's what the Bible says. The word of God that contains the gospel, that's part of it. That's called the assurance of salvation, that nobody can take it away. Not even our own stupid actions can take that away from us. That's part of the gospel. And basically what that does is it flies in the face of all contemporary religion. I heard of a wee woman that was challenged about being saved up in Bangor. And she said, she was challenged, but Stan actually was telling me, he said, this wee woman, I asked her, was she saved? She said, yes, I'm saved. He said, when did you get saved? I get saved every week, she said. Whenever they say, does anybody want to be saved, just put up your hand. I put up my hand every week. I get saved every week. That's not the gospel. Neither is the gospel a tally of your good deeds. Do the best you can and God will let you into heaven. That is not the gospel. The only people in the word of God that are hoping that their good deeds outweigh their bad are those mentioned in Revelation 20. And it doesn't work well for them, because God is not interested in your deeds as far as getting into heaven goes. He's only interested in whether you trusted in his son's deeds on the cross. His suffering for your sin is his complete payment for your sin. That's the gospel.
The Bible also says, as well as your soul being saved for free, and all that you have to do is repent of your sins and trust in the Savior, he also said that once you're saved forever, and nobody can take you away. He also said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He will be another comforter. That's how he never leaves us and never forsakes us. And in the book of Psalms, it talks about there is a friend that's closer than a brother. The man that wants friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that is closer than a brother, that's second closer than a brother. That's the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord said when he walked and talked with his disciples, he will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance all things. He will see you until the day of redemption, until the day that your body's done and you stand in front of God. And he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and him fellowshipping with you and you fellowshipping with him. He'd remind you of verses of scripture when you need them. Like you want, you'll be thinking, someone will be having a chat with you and you'll be saying, oh, what was that verse? What was the pastor talking about on Sunday from the Bible? And the Holy Spirit does it with me constantly, reminds me of Bible verses that I need, especially when I'm writing down notes for sermons. And if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. In fact, he says, whenever you get into a spot, when you're sitting on the big chair in life, don't be worrying about what you still say. It says, because the Holy Spirit will give it to you in that same hour. It will not be you that speaks, but it will be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. Jesus said these things. So you're saved by the Holy Spirit. You are comforted by the Holy Spirit. You are made bold by the Holy Spirit. You are made strong by the Holy Spirit. You are made wise by the Holy Spirit. You are given the ability to overcome so many of the things in this world that will literally crush people if you listen to the Holy Spirit. And in Isaiah 40 and 31 it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as eagles, shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. In 2 Samuel, I think it's 22 or 20, says, the psalmist was saying, by my God have I leaped over a wall, and by my God have I run through a troop. He set up my feet up like hinds' feet upon my high places. These are the promises of God. This is the gospel. The gospel also promises we've got to comfort when times get difficult, because we all know that Christians shouldn't be drinking, shouldn't be smoking, or cursing, or swearing. We shouldn't be living at the sleeping around the country, or involved in homosexuality, or lesbianism, or transgender, or anything like that. There is one physical relationship that's condoned in the Bible, and that's between a man and a woman when they're married to each other, and that's it. We know that there's a lot of things that God says no. No. And some of those things we maybe like to do. God says, even if it feels you lose your right arm or your right eye, God says, get rid of it. First of all, you're better going to heaven without that holding you back. And second of all, for anything that you've given up or lost in this world because of your walk with God, I have something that's 100 times better, ready and waiting for you. And not only that, regardless of what the whole world says, if they say something different to what's in the Bible, you're right and they're wrong. If God be for you, who can be against you? In that very same chapter it says, just previously, and I think this is something that a lot of people don't want to dwell upon. But as you get on in years, you start to think about the end of your life and what's next. And people want to think that whenever they get to the end of their lives that they have accomplished something or amounted to something, or it will be pleasing, most importantly, to God. So God says, here you are. The recipe for being happy with your life is getting saved and obeying God. It's that simple. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And I have had conversations with a few folks over the last week or two about the last 25 or 30 years. And I've been in Derry for 34 years. 34 years. I was speaking, it was Clive I was talking to. Clive, have you ever wondered what happened the last 25 years? And I wondered that one day, and it stopped me. What have I done with the last 25 years? I must admit, one of the highlights is getting the church all sorted. That's one of the ones you can just see. But what people don't see is the number of times we've been around the town and put leaflets in the doors, the number of times we've spoken to people about their souls, the number of times we've been on the radio, the things that I have done to serve God. That's what's important to me, and those are the things that I look back on and say, that was worth it. It was worth it to serve the Lord with my time here on earth. Because there is nothing else in this world that is going to last. That's the gospel. There's also the thick ears that God gives you when you don't do what you're supposed to do. That's the gospel too. God will chasten you. He'll pull you up short if you start misbehaving. He'll use me. He'll use circumstance. He'll use Bible verses that you read if you start to misbehave. That's the gospel. God is not a white-haired granddad that sits in a big chair and just says to all of his kids, don't worry about it. My son paid for that all. Don't worry about it. This is no different to what has happened in many, many churches and denominations. If you were to go back a couple of hundred years, you might actually find that many of the Protestant churches were actually very, very close to the gospel. I'm not saying all of them, but many of them. They wouldn't have countenanced, goodness, we wouldn't be able to turn up at church because we're not dressed respectfully. We wouldn't be welcomed at church because maybe we didn't come from the right background. We wouldn't be able to sit at the front of the church because maybe we didn't have enough money. There'd be so many things, but some of the things are completely non-gospel. The likes of the Presbyterian Church and maybe the Methodist Church and maybe the, I don't know about the Church of Ireland, but some of the other denominations that came out may have been quite close to the gospel. I can't tell. I only have 50-something years experience in this world. But I am going to tell you something right now. Half of them's unrecognizable. I have a cousin-in-law in America that goes to a church, that found a church where they were comfortable. They're Democrats, very liberal and progressive Democrats. And they were all fretful because the Roe versus Wade ruling was jumped. And they were going to have an evening of grieving and mourning. Oh God, please help us and enable us to kill our children more effectively. That is literally the prayers that would have been offered up in that church. You might have had them wrapped up in some other shiny paper and a nice ribbon, but those are the prayers. It is interesting that God mentions this here.
Because Paul took a few years to do his grand tour. But in the 400 years between Malachi and the New Testament, the Jewish church was unrecognizable. They had gone completely off the rails. And they were preaching a works religion, and they were making merchandise of the people. Because if they had been preaching the gospel, Jesus wouldn't have found any apostles or any disciples. They would all have been serving the King of Kings in the synagogue already. They would have welcomed the Messiah. Please take your place at the head of the Jewish faith. And they would have all abdicated their authority and their responsibility. But we know that's not the way it happened. We know even today that the Methodist Church does not like born-again Christians. I have that from the mouth of the Methodist minister's wife and husband. We know today that the Church of Ireland doesn't welcome the spread of the gospel, because I had a man, an old minister, stop me in the street and say, from the Church of Ireland, who gave you the authority to go around putting bits of the scriptures at people's doors? We know that a lot of the charismatic churches don't like it either. And all that they do is preach a false gospel. I even came across Baptist Church. The one up in the town here, that had a church full of lost people. At the funeral of another lost person, who was invited many times to join us in church, get saved, learn a bit about the Bible. And all that he could say was that this woman was the life and soul of the party. And there was no presentation of the gospel. There was no pricking of the conscience to take this as an opportunity to review your own life and get right with God. This is in the Baptist church in town. We have the other independent Baptist church in town. The denomination is no proof against compromise. Who went out of his way to destroy another little independent Baptist work up in Limavady so that he could get his hands on the £20,000 that they had in the bank. And that's the sort of scum that you have leaving churches. I'm not perfect. Not by a long shot, even though the Bible says that Mark the perfect man, Psalm 37:37. That doesn't apply to me. That's a different mark. But it is our duty not to be a good Christian because it makes me happy, but to be a good Christian to make God happy. I used to see Norman for like 8 or 9 hours every day. I'm sure he was probably tired looking at me in the morning. I think he enjoyed the tea, mind you, because he never had to make a cup of tea. Or was it once he made a cup of tea?
Never made a cup of tea.
Never made a cup of tea. So he didn't do too bad. But when you go home at night, to your own home, and when you shut the door, and when you put your head in the pillow, it's God with whom you have to do. It is him that pricks your conscience. It is him that speaks to you, and sometimes he'll speak to you in a dream. It'll be in the scriptures, it'll be in the things that happen to you. It is God that will be there for you when you're waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning with the night terrors or your heart thumping out of your chest. It is God that's there to greet you in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, to sit down with you and have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. It's God that hops in the car with you and drives with you to work. And even though you might see many, many people and converse with all sorts, sizes, shapes, colours, ages, it is God that accompanies you, Christian, every moment of every day. And it is him whose house you are hoping to spend the endless ages of eternity in. It would be incumbent upon us to keep him happy, to do it his way, to please him. In the words of my dad,
Unfortunately, we're like magpies. We see something shiny and we forget what it was that we originally set out to do. But there's a whole bunch of people trying to turn you off of the path that God has set for you. I could mention our government. Our government's it's a blazing train wreck. It really is. They did everything they could to stop the spread of the gospel. They did everything they could to break down families. They did everything they could to murder our unborn children, to turn the nation into a nation of pagans. You certainly do not want to be listening to the government when it comes to your spirituality or how you live your life. We're a bunch of liars. And Boris Johnson marked his card when he said it was a dark day on the day that the people voted to make it more difficult to kill children in the womb. It was a dark day, according to Boris Johnson. That fool. That gulping. This is going on with the internet, by the way. These are the people that you have running the country who are elected to look after us. They are not doing a good job. You do not want to be listening to the gospel according to the government. What about schools and educational institutions? They are working their hardest to destroy young people. Have you seen the dross that little children are being told? They are being told about all manner of filthy, immoral, and unnatural sexual practices. And goodness, they're 5 and 6 and 7 years old, being groomed by transgender cross-dressers. And they, those people should be locked up, but instead the government is sponsoring them. It's okay, my goodness. They're taught at every turn that we come from animals. And then the government's surprised whenever they behave like it. You certainly want to be listening to that gospel. Imagine being taught by a government and law enforcement agencies that as long as you don't steal more than $1,000, that it's not worth your while or their while chasing down shoplifters. Imagine that. Imagine a government that would, whenever a man comes into a shop over a bag of crisps and attacks the shopkeeper and starts roughing him up, a big guy with a criminal record, and when the shopkeeper defends himself and that fool loses his life, that thief loses his life, the shopkeeper goes to jail. I heard he got out. But imagine that. Imagine in a country where you can't even defend your own home. And when people break in to cause rack and ruin, and you defend yourself, and one of them loses their lives, you go to jail. Remember that man? He was sitting waiting with a shotgun for these fools to break into his house. And he killed one. And I think one or two of the other ones got some buckshot for their volley. He went to jail. You certainly don't want to be listening to that gospel. They would have you killed and have a party about it. You don't want to be listening to your friends and neighbours either, because we live in a wonderful democracy. Here's the secret of democracy. Democracy only works when most people are good and patriotic. That's the only time democracy works. If people aren't patriotic and care about the well-being of their country and their neighbours, democracy doesn't work. And here we are in quotes, democracy, where most people, we're just across the border, most people voted for some of the most liberal abortion laws in the world, that's the South, about what, 4 or 5 years ago. And then we got even more liberal abortion laws faster than us by some gulpin who doesn't know his left hand from his right hand. Certainly don't want to be listening to our educational institution where children are being taught to rebel against their parents. They're being taught that they're animals. They're being taught that
homosexuality is much more preferable and worth being protected rather than heterosexuality. We definitely do not want to be listening to the gospel preached by our educational establishments. Here's another one that you could sit away up in a wee hermit's cabin, and you could be well away from the government, you could be well away from the educational establishment. What we think and what we feel. Because if we were to do everything and follow up on every thought that flitted through our heads, there'd be a trail of dead bodies behind us in our wake. Some of them may be deserving of it, but there would be a trail of dead bodies. People with their thick heads twisted off their stupid shoulders and their heads kicked down the street. That's what we would do. If we were to give in to our feelings, that's exactly what would happen. God says, I've given you the Bible for a reason, so that even when your feelings are running hot, the reason of the Bible keeps you cool and keeps you on the right track. Feelings are not to be trusted. There's the words of an old song, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? Do you know how many people just want to wring somebody's neck because it feels so right? Do you know how many people want to commit all sorts of filth and fornication just because it feels so right? The bars and the pubs will be full of them tonight. Feelings are not worth listening to. That doesn't mean we all walk around with Mr. Spock or Data from Star Trek without an emotion to our names. It means we keep our feelings under control. And by all means, we have them, but we choose whether to listen to them or not. We don't listen to our neighbours whenever it comes to going to heaven. Not unless your neighbours happen to be gospel preachers. Because our neighbours are mostly listening to the TV and to the entertainment industry and reading the papers. I was just reading the other day some of the statistics in the States where something between like 11 and 16% of newspapers and news programs, that's all the people that trust them. Between 11 and 6, 1/7 of the population, between 1/10 and 1/7 of the population, are the only people that listen or believe what's going on in TV. The media has been lying and doing its best to destroy families and family values and Christian values for the last 60 years, 70 years. Do not want to be listening to them. Somebody said to me, why don't you listen to what the government says? Well, I'll tell you why I don't listen to what the government says. Because the government hates me. I am a born-again Christian. I believe that you need to be saved to go to heaven. And I believe that everybody deserves to have an opportunity to hear that. But my government does its very, very best to stop me. For 2 years they tried to close churches right the way across the world. What did they think people were going to do? For 2 years they stopped families helping each other and leaning upon each other. For 2 years they spun a yarn about this, oh, COVID's awful! Still out. Why aren't we all shut down? Why aren't we all cowering under our tables whilst COVID rages across the world? Hasn't changed any. Don't think for a second that all those vaccinations make one bit of difference. Someone said, how helpful are the COVID injections? They're supposed to be 98% effective. How helpful is your immune system? About 98%. So why should I take an injection? And they use every single means to cajole and to convince and to persuade and even threaten people to bow the knee and to believe them. Why would I believe in a government or a media that tells these lies consistently, and I know they hate what I believe, they hate the God of the Bible?
They're everywhere.
It's the days we live in. God said it was going to be like that. There would be a great falling away, and here we are. There's four of us here tonight. 15 years ago, there would have been maybe 25 or 30 in the church, but they all fell away. They all listened to another gospel. How do people end up being convinced of stupid things? The reason is because they are not convinced of this real thing. They're not convinced of the Bible, so they're easily convinced by something else. They don't know their Bible. So whenever some fool from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the LDS, the Mormons, and I want for you to listen, their chief angel was called Moroni. I think that's actually the plural of moron, Moroni. They come telling you an interesting story of how the devil is the half-brother of Jesus, when the Bible plainly says the devil was created by Jesus as an archangel. People don't know these things in their own Bible. They are like a ripe apple on a tree, just sitting about 6 foot off the ground, easy pickings for anybody that comes along. I don't know if you know my preferences for the way I like the tea. I know Norman doesn't, because I made all the tea the past 9 months. But I know his preferences for tea. I know how to make the tea the way he likes it. I don't know if it's still half a spoonful of sugar. Was one spoonful of sugar, went to half a spoonful. I think it's honey at the moment. Do you know how I know that? Because I asked him. And then I practice. That's it.
There are things in this world that please God.
You want to know what they are? They're in the Bible. You want to please God. If you want bulletproof off of it against the nonsense that's going on in this world right now, ask God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to learn? Where do you want me to be? And then whenever he tells you, practice. That way, if someone ever comes along and says, you know what, that Mark fellow, is he a Christian? And they say, well, on Sunday morning and on Sunday evening, he puts his work clothes on. This is my work clothes. This is the way I used to turn up to work for Desmond. So they're my work clothes. My respectful clothes, if you want to put them that way. And he carries his Bible. It's like the size of half a grease block. Can't miss that. And he goes and gets folks for church. And then he goes to the wee church out the road. And then they sing for half an hour. And he preaches for half an hour or so. And if you're ever talking to him, he might even mention God to you. By all accounts, he prays. And he mentions enough verses of the Bible to make me think that he spends time studying the Bible. So he looks like a duck, he walks like a duck, and he quacks like a duck. He's a duck. On the other hand, if someone comes along telling you other stuff, you'll say, well, he looks like a duck because he's well dressed. Or work dress. He goes to a church building, but he doesn't tell the same message as the Bible says. So he looks like a duck. He's got a beak and webbed feet. And he swims in water like a duck. But he's actually a duck called platypus. Because platypuses have big duck look. That's why it's called duck-billed platypus. And they have webbed feet. So you swim like a duck. Looks a bit like a duck. But it's not a duck. Probably the easiest thing to do whenever people say, oh, I am, is to have a look at the way they live their lives. You'll see a lot of those young Mormons, that's just on my mind at the moment. A lot of them coming over here are actually over here to be out of bother. They're over here to be out of bother, and they don't know their left hand from their right hand, and they're walking around pretending like they do. People come telling you, no, you need to be in our church. Ask them questions. Ask them about the things that God has done for you. The salvation, the assurance, chastening, the Holy Spirit, His Word, the inerrant Word of God, the King James Bible. And if they are not on board with those things, well, then you can bid those people goodbye. Not God be with you or God bless you, but on your way, you're a false prophet. I really don't need anything to do with it. You don't quack like a duck, you don't swim like a duck, and you don't look like a duck, therefore you are not a duck. It's very important that you keep your head screwed on, because you only ever have to learn one set of rules and not be changing, not today, not tomorrow. It'll always be the same. So much easier to learn and to keep up with than everything that's going on in this world today that literally changes every 20 minutes. God loves you. He's exactly what we need. And He has it all there. It's entirely up to you what you do with it. But let me tell you, life is always far better off with the gospel in it. It tastes better. Looks better, smells better, and feels better. Stopping there, thank you for your good time. God bless you. Will we sing a song? Anybody got one, or am I picking?
406.
Pardon?
406.
Is that Fight the Good Fight? 406 in the big book. Because the wee book numbers don't go up that high. Who is on the Lord's side? Folks, enough. Let's stand as we sing. 406. Who is on the Lord's side? Your beard's creeping up on each other.
Thank you.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.